The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
Karen, we kick off with earnings season. We hear from the first of the big banks today. JP Morgan, Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo all report. Bloomberg Wall Street correspondent Shanali Basak says inflation will affect the results.
On one hand, it's kept interest rates higher for longer, and it's meant that potentially net interest income could come in higher this year than initially expected. Investors will be watching out for whether JP Morgan in particular will raise or keep their guidance for net interest income. On the other hand, inflation keeps costs high for these banks, and the likes of Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America will be watched closely on how they're keeping a handle on those costs and what it means for their headcount. In New York, Shanali Basak, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Shanali, thank you. One other note on the banking industry. Morgan Stanley dropped more than 5% in a report. U.S. regulators are scrutinizing the firm's efforts to prevent potential money laundering by wealthy clients. The Wall Street Journal says the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and other Treasury Department officials are all looking into the issue. Bloomberg Intelligence's Elliot Stein says the investigation has been in the works for some time.
We already knew from November that the Federal Reserve was investigating Morgan Stanley on this very issue. This story suggests that the probe is a little broader and other agencies are looking too, including the SEC, the OCC. And so it's, you know, it's more than just the Fed right now.
And Bloomberg's Elliot Stein says a Morgan Stanley spokesperson declined to comment on the story.
Well, Karen, economists at Deutsche Bank and Bank of America are commenting, joining the growing crowd of forecasters dialing back expectations on interest rate cuts in the U.S. Details on that from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The move came after the consumer price index rose at a faster-than-expected pace for a third straight month. Strategists at Deutsche Bank and Bank of America now predict that the Federal Reserve will ease policy just once this year in December. That is a sharp reduction in previous forecasts from both firms, which each previously saw the Federal Reserve beginning to ease policy starting in June. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Charlie, thanks. We'll head to Europe now. After a mild recession, the UK economy grew for a second month, and we get the latest from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts in London. Ewan.
Karen and Nathan, UK GDP grew 0.1% in February, with January's figure revised up to an increase of 0.3%. Both manufacturing and services came in stronger than expected, though construction was weaker, blamed on very wet weather. The figures add to evidence the British economy is gathering momentum after sliding into a shallow technical recession in the second half of last year. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Radio.
Okay, Ewan, thank you. Moving to the commodities sector, the mad rush into gold continues. Earlier this morning, for the first time ever, spot gold rose above $2,400 an ounce. Heightened Middle East tensions and the outlook for monetary policy have fueled these gains. Other commodities are also on the move this morning. Silver hit its highest level in more than 3 years. Copper is at its best since June of 2022.
Well, we're also keeping an eye on oil, Nathan. After a bearish new report on crude demand, the International Energy Agency is cutting its forecast for this year and next, predicting demand growth of just 1.1 million barrels a day in 2025. That's about a million less than the increase seen by OPEC. IEA is also warning that persistent Ukrainian drone attacks on Russian oil refineries could disrupt the global market. Checking NYMEX crude oil, it's up 1.25%. It's at $86.08. a barrel, while Brent is at $90.67.
Well, this could affect the oil market, Karen. The Biden administration is planning a sweeping effort to block Arctic drilling. More on that from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
A century ago, the U.S. set aside 23 million acres of Alaska's North Slope to serve as an emergency oil supply. Now, President Biden is moving to block any oil and gas development across roughly half of it. The administration says the effort will boost land conservation and fight climate change. The oil industry says the plan is more expansive than initially thought and will make it almost impossible to build another mega project in the region. The companies say they have recently made large discoveries which would yield supplies for decades to come. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Ed, thanks. Well, President Biden is also making another move to tackle student debt. He's forgiving loans for about 277,000 Americans, most of them enrolled in the government's SAVE program, which promises to cancel debt after at least 10 years of repayments. This move will wipe away about $7.4 billion in federal student debt. Earlier this week, President Biden announced a plan B to forgive loans for more than 25 million borrowers. That move is likely to face court challenges.
In company news, Karen, Apple is preparing to overhaul its entire Mac computer line with a new set of in-house processors designed to highlight artificial intelligence. Sources say the tech giant's also nearing production of its next-generation chip, the M4 processor. Bloomberg's Mark Gurman says this news is more to do with AI than the computers.
It's not necessarily the Macs themselves. Obviously, Macs are a small portion of the overall revenue base for Apple on an annual basis, something around 10%. And I'm not sure that any investor believes that's going to skyrocket to doubling revenue or even going a third higher. I think it's the focus on AI. I think that investors are seeing that Apple's trying to push artificial intelligence to every nook and cranny it could across the company.
And Bloomberg's Mark Gurman says Apple's aiming to release the updated Macs beginning late this year and extending into early next.
Well, Nathan, Samsung is preparing to take the wraps off a $44 billion investment in U.S. chip making as soon as next week. It's a signature project in Washington's broader effort to bring semiconductor production back to America. Sources say the world's biggest memory chip maker plans to outline the project in Texas alongside Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo.
And welcome to the club, Amazon. The e-commerce and cloud computing giant is trading at a record. Amazon is the last of the big five U.S. tech firms to reach an all-time high in the rebound from the post-pandemic sell-off. In a bid to win over investors, Amazon has slashed costs and restructured its business. Its efforts to streamline operations have helped to boost profits and win over shareholders.
And it's time now for a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Today, the House will vote on reauthorizing the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Earlier this week, House Republicans blocked FISA from being renewed after former President Trump pressed them to kill it, claiming it was used to spy on his campaign. Yesterday, FBI Director Christopher Wray talked about ongoing threats the U.S. faces and urged Congress to renew it.
Failure to reauthorize 702 or gutting it with some new kind of warrant requirement would be dangerous and put Americans' lives at risk.
FBI Director Wray testified at a House subcommittee hearing on the fiscal year 2025 budget request for the Bureau. The NYPD has ramped up security around the courthouse where jury selection is set to start Monday in Manhattan in former President Donald Trump's hush money trial. The presumptive Republican presidential nominee has pleaded not guilty. The proceedings present a historic challenge for the court and the lawyers, including finding prospective jurors who can be impartial. Police say part of New York City will be frozen during the trial. The death of O.J. Simpson reminded America about the murder victims in the infamous case, his ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson and her friend Ronald Goldman. Cato Kalin, Simpson's former house guest, who served as a witness in the 1995 murder trial, issued a video statement.
To the family of the beautiful Nicole Brown Simpson, may we always cherish her memories. Nicole was a beacon of light that burned bright. May we never forget her.
Meanwhile, Simpson died without having paid the lion's share of the $33.5 million judgment a civil jury in 1997 awarded it to the families of his ex-wife, Ann Goldman. The Goldman and Brown families could be at the front of the line to get paid whatever Simpson left behind. President Joe Biden has added more Chinese companies and individuals to an export blacklist than any U.S. administration. The Commerce Department added six Chinese companies to its entity list yesterday, bringing the tally of new targets during the Biden administration to 319. Global news, 24 hours a day and whenever you want it, with the Bloomberg News Now. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
And it's time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower. John.
Thanks, Karen. Despite the early rain, they got most of the Masters opening round in. There are some golfers, including Tiger Woods, who need to come back early this morning to finish up before playing round two. Tiger was steady, one under par through 13 holes. The leader with a 7-under 65, Bryson DeChambeau.
It's always great getting off to a hot start. 3-under through first three holes kind of gets you settled. I knew it was going to be a tough day today with the wind and even tomorrow. So a lot of patience is required around this golf course and making sure you're just stroking it on your line, putting it good, hitting good iron shots, and driving it well.
And he drives it farther than pretty much anyone. World number one, Scottie Scheffler, never seems to have a bad round. He's one shot behind. Rory McIlroy shot 1-under. Defending champ Jon Rahm, 1-over. The Knicks in Boston, meaningless game for the Celtics. They've clinched home court in the playoffs, but they did use all their guys, and the Knicks beat them easily, up by 29 going into the fourth quarter. The final was 118-109. Jalen Brunson continues his scoring tear, 39 points. He scored 35 or more in each of the last five. At the Garden, Philadelphia beat the Rangers 4-1. At UBS, the Islanders now on the verge of making the playoffs with a sixth win in a row, 3-2 in overtime over Montreal. Kyle Palmieri, the game-winning goal. The Devils won. The Capitals lost. Day game for the Mets, and in Atlanta, they scored 7 runs in the first 3 innings and 9 more in the last 3. A 16-4 rout of the Braves. Mets are 5-2 since that 0-5 start. At Fenway, the Orioles with a 6-run 10th inning finished a sweep of the Red Sox 9-4. College hockey's Frozen Four semifinals saw BC shut out Michigan. BU losing overtime to Denver. BYU basketball coach Mark Pope will be the new coach at Kentucky, who he played for in the mid-1990s, replaces John Calipari, who made the surprising move to Arkansas. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Karen, Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. And futures are mixed. S&P futures down 0.1%. Dow futures up 0.1%. NASDAQ futures down 0.3%. And the 10-year Treasury yield 4.54%.
Coast to coast on Bloomberg Radio, nationwide on Sirius XM, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and the Bloomberg Business app. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager, and we are getting ready for the kickoff of first quarter earnings season. The biggest Wall Street banks start to open their books before the opening bell. J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo will be first out the gate. Joining us now with a preview is Bloomberg's Charlie Wells. Charlie, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. Big day.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big day. So much focus on what these higher for longer interest rates, this prospect for them, is going to mean for these banks' net interest income outlook.
Net interest income, which that, you know, is the biggest source of revenue for these banks. And what a lot of executives have been saying late last year was that they needed to kind of dampen expectations for the year going ahead. But if we enter this world where rates are higher for longer, what that could potentially mean is that this crucial source of income for these banks could be bigger than expected. So what I'm really watching for is the potential guidance that some of these executives give. Something else that's so important is investment banking revenue. So we've heard so much about better news on M&A. We've heard so much, you know, about more IPOs. Does that translate into these earnings? I think those are two key areas to focus on today.
And we did get a little bit of a preview from Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JPMorgan Chase, the annual shareholder letter. A lot
of the focus on artificial intelligence makes you think about whether efficiencies are going to come into play for a lot of these banks when you think about interest rates potentially adding to the costs that some of these firms are facing.
That's exactly right. I mean, they are under so much pressure to show that they've got expenses under control. They're under so much pressure, you know, to show profitability. And, you know, look, a lot of the shares for these banks have been performing really well. The narrative around them has been really popular. Actually, the gains have been outperforming the broader S&P 500. And so if they can keep up that story of, you know, expenses under check, that could be really positive for them. But also, you know, we've been hearing some commentary about how AI could kind of dramatically change the role of analysts at these banks, making it more efficient, but as you say, also potentially less expensive.
And I got to wonder how much attention is going to be later on this week on Morgan Stanley with this report that its wealth unit is under federal regulatory investigation.
This is not the sort of news that they wanted going into their earnings report. And so what we got yesterday from a report in The Wall Street Journal was that, you know, a broadening cadre of federal agencies are looking into controls to prevent money laundering at Morgan Stanley. And so we knew that the Fed was looking into this. But what we have been learning is that, you know, it's a larger group of organizations, including the SEC, the Office for the Comptroller, and several Treasury offices. And the key question is, did Morgan Stanley do enough to investigate potentially risky clients? And, you know, wealth management has become a really important unit for not just Morgan Stanley, but for all of these Wall Street banks. And one of the big risks is, how are you looking after who you're letting in to do business with?
Got about 30 seconds left. In terms of the banks that are going to be reporting this morning, what is the main focus that investors are looking at?
Yeah, so, you know, definitely net interest income, but also investment banking. So we've got JP Morgan coming up and Citigroup and Wells Fargo. And I think another thing that we should really watch out for, huge story, has been commercial real estate. Now, 16% of Wells Fargo's loan book is commercial real estate. So it'll be really, really telling to see how they report on that commercial real estate front, which has been under so much stress lately.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, "Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, SiriusXM, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.